Donald Trump's mining for a heart of gold. This might be a lump of coal, not a heart of gold. And we saw it on vivid display today in the courtroom of Judge Mershon. Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine program coming up after mine. Of course, you can hear Dom Salvia from 4 to 6 p.m. every Monday through Friday after my show. Cardi and I worked really hard so that you didn't have to listen to the entirety of the whole hearing, which is a little dry. It's sexier than most sentencing hearings, I'll say that. So if you do have the inclination, I highly recommend that you check it out. But just before the break, we heard Donald Trump declare his innocence. It was just legal expenses. A bookkeeper wrote down some legal expenses. What's the big deal? No, it wasn't a legal expense. It was a bribe. It was a payoff to a porn star to cover up an affair with said porn star in the weeks before the election, so that he could win the election, so the American people, you, wouldn't have the information about Donald Trump being very specifically, not just generically, a cheating philanderer, but a very specific cheating philanderer with one very specific former adult movie actress. So let's move on immediately. We're going to take Donald Trump's next shortcut, the quick cut, if you will, Cardi, cut two.
They got to see this firsthand, and then they voted, and I won and got the largest number of votes by far of any Republican candidate in history, and won, as you know, all seven swing states, won conclusively all seven swing states, and won the popular vote by millions and millions of votes, and they've been watching your trial, so they understood it.
Okay, so yeah, not exactly true. Yeah, he won all seven swing states, but the rest of it's not true. Let's take, if we can, cut A2.
All right, give me 3 seconds to bring this, a 50-second clip. Here we go.
They weren't put down by me. They were put down by accountants. I didn't call them construction concrete work. I didn't call them electrical work. I didn't call them any. They called a legal fee or a legal expense.
I mean, this one's funny, isn't it? Just wrap that one up.
For this, I got indicted.
It's not construction. It's not, like, what? What is the guy even talking about? It doesn't make any gosh darn sense. So again, trying to get to the very quick cut, Cardi, A2, where he's talking about this, if you can, cut A2. Otherwise, let's just go to cut B for Donald Trump. This is B. The 26-second cut.
Oh, okay. So the 26-second cut would be the landslide one.
Yeah, let's take the 26-second cut.
All right, that's the one we just played, the landslide one, which would be this one.
This firsthand, and then they voted, and I won and got the largest number of votes by far of any Republican candidate in history, and won, as you know, all seven swing states, won conclusively all seven swing states, and won the popular vote by millions and millions of votes. And they've been watching your trial, so they understood it.
Yeah, so he goes on, and what I was trying to get to in that clip, no worries, Cardi, is he ends up calling it lawfare and the, quote, massive weaponization of government. I was treated very unfairly, and then he concludes by saying, thank you, judge. Donald Trump was indicted by a grand jury of regular New York citizens, and he was convicted by 12 New York citizens. Much of what he said in his statement today was attacks directly on the legal system. And there was a statement that was made by his attorney, which I thought was, kind of wild. His attorney, of course, kind of echoes the Trump talking points, and this is all so ridiculous, and what an abuse of power, and goes on and on and on, basically trumpets all these things. And then at the very end of his lawyer's statement, he said this, and this is a rough quote because I was typing as the hearing was going on. This was a case that was, without a doubt, was brought by a district attorney that promised he would go after President Trump and his campaign. I hope that this will never happen again in this country. Todd, do you mean that your client, who has also promised to go after people in a campaign, should probably not do that? It's the one thing Todd Blanche said that I agreed with, at least in principle. But let's get to some of what Judge Mershon said. And again, what's really important is that Judge Mershon shows great fidelity to the Supreme Court's ruling on presidential immunity. And he emphasizes that the protections of the office of the President of the United States do not flow to a person because it's Donald Trump. They are for the office of the President of the United States. So let's take, this is the 9-second cut, Cardi. Let's just take, it's this very idea in a nutshell, and listen carefully to the judge's emphasis here.
And yet, the trial was a bit of a paradox because once the courtroom doors were closed.
Sorry, Cardi. I need the 9-second cut. To the,
all right, I'm bringing it up right now. Here we go.
It is the legal protections afforded to the office of the President of the United States that are extraordinary, not the occupant of the office.
Not the occupant of the office. So those immunity protections, those are afforded to the office. Now let's take the 1-minute, 40-second cut, Cardi. Next one.
Gotcha.
The legal protections, especially within the context of a criminal prosecution, afforded to the office of the president have been laid out by our founders, the Constitution, and most recently interpreted by the United States Supreme Court in the matter of Trump versus the United States, which was decided on July 1st, 2024. As with every other defendant in your position, it is my obligation to consider any and all aggravating and mitigating factors to inform my decision. Some of those aggravating factors have already been articulated in my Sandoval ruling at the start of this trial and by my recent written decisions on December 16th and January 3rd. Thus, they need not be repeated at this time. However, the considerable, indeed, extraordinary legal protections afforded by the Office of the Chief Executive is a factor that overrides all others. To be clear, the protections afforded the Office of the President are not a mitigating factor. They do not reduce the seriousness of the crime or justify its commission in any way. The protections are, however, a legal mandate which, pursuant to the rule of law, this court must respect and follow. However, despite the extraordinary breadth of those protections, one power they do not provide is the power to erase a jury verdict.
Let's pause there, because I just got a great comment from Mark from Sussex, who's one of our regular conservative commentators or texters. And he said, Trump is going to win this appeal. Never should have happened. I agree with Mark's sort of underlying premise to a degree, which is this prosecution doesn't happen but for the fact that it was Donald Trump, but for the fact that it was a fraud committed in the course of a presidential election to keep information from the American people. I agree with that. But the fact of the matter is a grand jury indicted him and a jury of regular New Yorkers convicted him. And in this country, in our legal process, jury verdicts are nearly sacrosanct. And here's the other truth. Any other person convicted of these same 34 penalties would face some sort of period of incarceration and or monetary penalty. And I believe the maximum penalty for these crimes is somewhere north of 3 years. So yeah, around this crime and the fact that it was Donald Trump, a presidential candidate, that did it. All of that is true. But it's also true that a jury convicted him. Those are nearly sacrosanct in this country. Judge Mershon entertained every single argument from Trump's lawyers. I will discuss some of his rulings in greater detail on Monday in conjunction with the in North Carolina. So please tune in then for that. And it's also true that anybody else would be likely going to New York prison for these crimes. And this is part of what Judge Mershon was saying today. The circumstances here are extraordinary. The process is not. And the process here, our legal process, should be what we have some fidelity to. That clip we just heard, he ends with this statement: despite these extraordinary protections, one power they do not provide is the power to erase a jury's verdict. Let's take the 40-second clip because Judge Mershon expounds on this very idea.
That Donald Trump, the ordinary citizen, Donald Trump, the criminal defendant, would not be entitled to such considerable protections. I'm referring to protections that extend well beyond those afforded the average defendant who winds their way through the criminal justice system each day. No, ordinary citizens do not receive those legal protections. It is the office of the president that bestows those far-reaching protections to the office holder. And it was the citizenry of this nation that recently decided that you should once again receive the benefits of those protections, which include, among other things, the Supremacy Clause and presidential immunity.
The ordinary citizen would not be entitled to these protections, but he will have no penalty for committing these crimes as decided by a jury because he will become our next president. Judge Mershon concluded with these words. Let's take the last cut, Cardi.
It is through that lens and that reality that this court must determine a lawful sentence. After careful analysis, in obedience to governing mandates and pursuant to the rule of law, this court has a lawful sentence that permits entry of a judgment of conviction without encroaching upon the highest office in the land, is an unconditional discharge, which the New York State Legislature has determined is a lawful and permissible sentence for the crime of falsifying business records in the first degree. Therefore, at this time, I impose that sentence to cover all 34 counts. Sir, I wish you Godspeed as you assume your second term in office.
And with that, for the first time in our nation's history, a former president was convicted of felonies, 34 felonies. It is both historic, and I think it will be interesting to see what happens next. There is no question Donald Trump will appeal, and whether or not he remains a convicted felon will be determined in this appeals process. The first appeals must go through the New York court system, but make no mistake, I'll put this marker down. We'll eventually see a habeas corpus appeal to get it into the federal courts and eventually get this matter before the United States Supreme Court. And I will just say this to you. I have reviewed hundreds of habeas corpus appeals. Judge Mershon handled this case with extraordinary restraint. I would be grossly disappointed if the Supreme Court grants his habeas appeal. Because in reviewing cases in my time as a federal appeals court clerk, this does not meet the extraordinarily high standards for conviction, vacation of a conviction. Keep it locked when we come back. What's good, local, and overlooked